We live in a world today that has, for some reason or another, elevated feelings over facts. In fact, feelings have just about replaced facts. My friends, whether we realize it or not, when an individual holds to that particular concept, that feelings are better than facts, that feelings are more important than facts, then what happens is that knowledge begins to diminish in a society. Notice the definition of knowledge. An acquaintance with what? Facts. Truth. Principles. So if that's the definition of knowledge, and facts do not matter, then guess what? Knowledge does not matter, and if knowledge doesn't really matter, then knowledge is going to diminish. We live in a world today wherein we can get our hands on all kinds of information just as quickly as you can imagine, can't we? And yet we live in a society that even though all of this information is available, individuals are still ignorant. And one of the reasons is because so many people rely on their feelings and not facts. Now we, as God's children, are not to be conformed to this world. Paul writes in Romans 12, verse 2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." But sometimes we conform, don't we? Sometimes the world has a tendency to enter into the church, and such is true with this concept that we're talking about now. I talk to many members of the body of Christ, and you can show them scripture, and you can show them the facts, and guess what? They're not concerned about the facts. They're concerned about their feelings. And my friends, because of that, knowledge has begun to diminish in the body of Christ as well. Now, this concept that we're dealing with is not the only reason that there is a lack of knowledge among members of the church. You see, there are many other factors that we could talk about as well. And there's a few of them: work, pleasure, family, travel, sports. You see, we are so preoccupied with so many other things that knowledge really isn't important, especially the knowledge of God's Word, divine knowledge, and divine wisdom. The title of our lesson this morning very simply is this: what I need in my Christian life is more knowledge. This morning we're going to be talking about five particular points that surround this particular concept. Let's begin first of all with some exhortations. As we read through the pages of God's Word over and over and over again, we are exhorted to obtain knowledge. Now, we need to remember that we're not talking about just general knowledge. In the Bible, when he talks about our acquisition of knowledge, he is talking about our gaining divine knowledge, spiritual knowledge, knowledge of the Word of God. Solomon, in Proverbs 8, verse 12, speaks to his son, and he says this: "Receive my instructions, not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold." Wow. We could spend some time on that verse, can't we? What are most individuals in our world today concerned about? We're concerned about making a living. We're concerned about making money. We're concerned about storing up money. We're concerned about retirement. We're concerned about all of these things that involve money. And oftentimes, those are the very things that distract us, that keep us away from the knowledge of the Almighty God. And Solomon says, here's what I want you to do. He says, I want you to receive instruction, not silver, and knowledge rather than fine gold. I think gold's running about $1,365 an ounce right now, folks. Not bad, is it? one ounce of gold. And yet, what does the Bible say? I want you to obtain knowledge rather than that choice gold. The same individual in Proverbs 23, verse 12, makes this particular statement. Apply thy heart to instruction and thy ears unto the words of knowledge. Paul was deeply concerned about the churches that he established, and one of those was the church at Colossae. And when the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, he makes mention of his desire for them to acquire knowledge. He says, after that we heard it, we cease not to pray for you and to desire that you be filled with all knowledge and spiritual wisdom and understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in knowledge. Here was a young church, a church that hadn't been established very many years. And what did Paul desire for those individuals? I want you to be increased in your knowledge of the Word of God. Peter writes in 2 Peter 1:5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. In that same epistle, he closes out with these words, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Over and over and over, the Word of God exhorts us to be a people of knowledge. Get knowledge, receive knowledge, acquire knowledge, give yourself to knowledge, increase in knowledge, grow in knowledge, give diligence to make certain that you add knowledge to your faith. You see, the Bible, that is God, wants us to be knowledgeable people. But the question that we might ask is this: how do we get that knowledge? How do we acquire it? Well, there are at least three essentials for each one of us to possess, for each one of us to do in order for us to have knowledge. The very first one is to fear the Almighty God. Proverbs 1:7 says, for the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We talk about fear, we're talking about reverence. We're talking about respect. We're talking about all of the Almighty God. My friends, there are numerous reasons as to why you and I should fear God. Let me give you what I believe, at least in my book, are the top two. Number one, I should fear God because of who He is. If I come to a diligent, good, solid understanding of who God is, I will tremble in my shoes before Him. The Creator, the Governor of the universe, the King of kings, the Redeemer of all mankind, the Judge of all the earth. Folks, just knowing who God truly is should cause me to respect and honor Him. But secondly, we should reverence God because of what He has done. When you go back into history and you watch all that God has done, it is almost mind-boggling, is it not? To think that there is a being who can just speak things into existence. To think that there is a being who can breathe into a lifeless body of clay, breath of life. A God who can overthrow armies of individuals without firing one shot against them. A being who can, at any moment, snuff out life itself. Folks, what God can do is unbelievable. And again, knowing who He is and what He has done should cause me to reverence and respect and honor Him. Now note, Solomon says it is that reverence, that fear of God, that is the beginning of knowledge. How can that be? The reality is this: God and His Word are tied inseparably together, folks. Now, I realize that the two things are not the same. They are mutually exclusive. God is God and the Word is His Word. But the two are so interlinked one with another that you cannot separate the two. Note this. The Word of God contains the very mind of this being that you and I are supposed to respect. I love what's said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. As it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which the Lord hath prepared for them that love Him. Folks, there was a time when it was that way. There was a time when you and I, or no man for that matter, knew anything about God, knew anything about His will, knew anything about anything that He has prepared for us. But notice what Paul says in verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Paul's talking about inspiration, folks. All the things that God wants us to know, all the things that God wants us to learn, all the things that God wants us to do that were found in the mind of God, the Spirit went there, searched those things out, and He has revealed them unto us in this book. Folks, this book contains the mind of God. Now the progression is very simple. If I truly respect God, and I understand that this book contains the mind of that wonderful being, then I'm going to respect this book. And if I respect this book, then I am going to be driven with deep desire and thirst and hunger for the Word of God. I'm going to crave it with all of my being. How many of you, honestly, wake up every day hungering and thirsting for what's found in this book? You see, it's a mindset, isn't it? And my friends, when we respect God, then this book matters. But notice secondly, the next essential to acquire knowledge is study. We got to study the book. Note this. If an individual never, ever, ever opens the Bible, then he will never, ever know one drop of God's will for his life. Isn't that true? Because you see, we do not inherit knowledge. When you and I were born, guess what? We were all just little blank canvases, weren't we? As far as our minds were concerned. Notice also that knowledge is not miraculously imparted unto man. And folks, regardless of what the denominational world tells us, the Holy Spirit is never going to come and just open up your mind and just deposit large quantities of knowledge in your mind. The way we come to a knowledge of truth is through diligent, hard, long, minute study of the Word of God. And the Bible tells us that all the time. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. 1 Timothy 4, verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Two verses later, 1 Thessalonians chapter, or Timothy 4, verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. And what was it that Peter said? And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue and virtue knowledge. That little word diligence means work, labor, effort, toil. Folks, knowledge does not come easily. It is a rigorous, difficult, long process and requires the investment of study. So I respect God. It drives me to hold on diligently to His will. I now open the book and I study it. But thirdly, the way I come to a knowledge of His will is to practice it. Folks, truth is more than just a body of facts to be learned. You know that? Oh yes, it must be learned. We must put it into our minds, but it's more than that. Folks, these are principles. These are concepts. These are things that God wants us to take and make application of them in our lives on a regular basis. And guess what? The more we apply them, the more we do them, the more we practice them, the more we come to learn the Word of God. What was it that James said? In James 1 verse 25, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Folks, we've got to be doers of God's Word. One of the reasons that we don't know the will of God enough is because we aren't out there practicing it enough. Have you ever taken a class? Maybe in high school or a college class, and you learn the principles, and then you get out in the field and you start to apply the principles and you know just how ignorant you are. You see, it's not until you practice them well that you can honestly say, "I know truth." So how do you get truth? Number three ways, isn't it? Fear God, study His Word, put that Word into practice. Now, thirdly, let's look at some examples of some individuals who desired wisdom and who acquired wisdom. And the reason I use these three examples is because they sit high, high, high on the example list. How about this man? Solomon. Do you know what he wanted? Do you know what he desired? He desired wisdom, didn't he? Here was a man who was now sitting, ruling, and reigning as the king of Israel. A huge, massive group of individuals. A man who assumes the throne right after David, his father. A man who sets the example of what kings are to be. And what does Solomon pray? "Give unto thy servant an understanding heart." Wow. I need knowledge. I need wisdom. I need understanding. I don't need power. I don't need riches. I don't need popularity. If I'm really going to be the king, the one thing that I need is understanding, folks. It's pretty powerful, isn't it? The second one, Paul. I don't know about you, but Paul ranks right up there on the top when it comes to people who were like Jesus. In fact, I don't know that I've ever known of another individual who I could even compare to the Apostle Paul as far as a person who was really trying to live like the Christ. But I want you to listen to what he says. "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of" who? "Christ Jesus, my Lord." Wow. Paul says, "I want to give up anything and everything so that I can possess the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ." And notice what he says, "for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Now think about that. You may have to give up a television show to learn a little bit more of the will of God. Oh, I got to give up a sporting event to learn God's. Oh, I got to give up a soap opera. Oh, I got to give up The Bachelorette. Oh, I got to give up The Voice. That's mine. That's the reason I put that in there. You see, we don't even want to suffer the loss of one TV show. Paul says, "for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, so that I can" what? "Obtain the knowledge of Jesus Christ." Wow. Now the third one is even more amazing. And there is no example higher, folks. And it's Jesus Christ Himself. At the age of 12, we find Jesus there in the temple area debating with the doctors and the leaders and the lawyers. His parents come, they find him, they take him back to that little despised town of Nazareth. And the Bible says this, and Jesus increased in, what's the very first thing? Wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus, even Jesus, had to increase in his knowledge of the Word of the living God. Now when I think of Solomon, when I think of Paul, when I think of Jesus, I'm talking about some pretty weighty characters, aren't I? And folks, here were individuals who desired, who longed for, who gave up, who invested themselves in what? Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of the Word of the living God. How then can I do any less? Point number four. There are many, many evils that will come upon us if you and I fail to invest ourselves in a knowledge of God's Word. I've only listed four. There's probably 100 if we really got down and started studying it. But point number one, folks, if you and I do not study the Word of God, if it's not our top priority to acquire the knowledge of God, then guess what? We can easily be led right into sin. In Romans 1 verse 28, the Apostle Paul is talking about the Gentile nation. And he says that they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Therefore, God gave them up to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Let a person throw this book out. Don't need the Bible. It's not important to me. I don't want to know anything that it says. And I'll guarantee you, you can go into that individual's life and you can investigate, and it won't be long till you'll find him engaged in some form of sin, won't you? No doubt about it. Nations that forget God, nations that refuse the righteousness of God found in the pages of God's Word. Folks, those nations eventually find themselves deep into immorality and sin in those nations. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You see, I need to know what God wants us to do, or else sin lurks just beyond that lack of knowledge, doesn't it? But here's another point. A lack of knowledge separates us from the benefits, the welfare, the blessings of the Almighty God. Proverbs 1:28 makes an interesting statement. Then shall they call upon me, and I will not hear. They shall seek me, but shall not find me. Wow, isn't that sad? Here are people who are crying out for the Almighty God, and yet God says, I'm not going to hear them. Here are individuals who are seeking and groping after God, and God says, these people right here will never find me. You see, they've separated themselves from the benefits, blessings, and welfare of God. Why? Because of what's found in verse 29. Because thou hast rejected knowledge. Wow. You see, God, guys, my blessings from God depend upon my knowledge of God. Whether I'm close to God or whether I'm far away from God depends upon my knowledge of God. The more I know, the more I understand of His will, the more blessings that I'm going to receive at His hands. But if I reject Him, if I turn away from a knowledge of His will, then guess what He does? He turns away from us. Point number three. A lack of knowledge, and this is what's interesting, can cause us to pursue the right thing, but in the wrong way. Isn't that something? And there are billions of people today upon the face of this earth who are doing exactly that. Oh yes, they're pursuing the right thing, but they're not doing it the right way, and the reason is because of ignorance. Paul says in Romans 10, beginning at verse 1, I've got verse 2, but let's start at verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record. Now watch this. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Wow. That little word zeal means to be bubbling over, to be boiling over. They have a zeal for God. They have this desire for God. And guys, it's not just a lukewarm thing. It is something that is hot and heated. But notice that Paul says they have a zeal of God, but not according to what? Knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Verse 3. Wow. You see, individuals who are ignorant seek their what? Their own way of obtaining righteousness. And my friends, when you try to seek your own way to obtain righteousness, then you cannot obtain the righteousness of God. Oh, you may desire it, you may long for it, you may wish for it, you may put out tons and tons of effort in order to try to acquire it, but if you don't acquire it God's way, it's useless. Aren't there millions of people today sitting in churches trying to worship, trying to find God, trying to obtain His righteousness, and yet how are they doing it, folks? They're doing it by the ways of men and not the ways of God. Lack of knowledge brings destruction. All of us are familiar with Hosea 4 verse 6, aren't we? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Why is it today that churches are turning from true worship to the traditions and commandments of men in their worship services? Ignorance, that's why. Why is it that young people are growing up and they get to be 18, 19, 20, 25 years old and they just depart from the faith? Ignorance, that's why. And sadly, what those individuals are going to find is destruction will be their end, because of their lack of knowledge. Now this last point, I call it the evaluation. And the reason I say that is because every one of us at some point needs to stop and we need to ask ourselves a question. How much of God's will do I really understand? Are there areas wherein I need to beef up my knowledge and come to a better understanding of those things? Oh, I hope so. I hope you feel that way. Because you see, there's tons of them that I'd like to understand better. You see, I would really like to understand sin even better than I do. Dick, what do you want to understand? I really want to come to a better understanding of exactly how sin opposes God. I understand it's the violation of His will. But my friends, God hates it. He abhors it. He can't stand it. He detests it. Do I really understand sin the way God does? That's the way I want to understand it. How about how sin hurts my Christian life? for some reason, we don't hesitate sometimes to involve ourselves in a little sin, lying, gossip, drinking, whatever it is. All of us have our downfalls, and we just involve ourselves in it. And sometimes we do it right around other individuals. I need to understand exactly how that sin hurts my Christian influence, folks. Because if I did, I wouldn't engage in those kind of sins. I need to understand the consequence of sin, don't I? You see, I'd like to know a whole lot more about Jesus, wouldn't you? I'd like to know more about His life. Oh yes, we have the four Gospels, but guess what? Dick hasn't memorized the four Gospels, and even if I did, I'd still fall short with regard to the knowledge of those books. What does it really mean when we say He is the Son of the living God? What does the cross of Calvary really mean? Father, give me a deeper understanding of what Jesus did on Calvary. Not just this passing knowledge of nails in His hands and nails in His feet and blood running from His body. I want to understand the meaning of that death for me. And I want to know the power of His resurrection, folks. That event transpired 2,000 years ago, did it not? It's a long time, and we're far removed from it. But do we really appreciate the fact that Jesus rose again on the third day? I want to understand what it means to be members of the body of Christ. What does that really mean? Folks, you and I are members of a fellowship, and you and I ought to desire one another's fellowship with one another. Not just once a week, twice a week. We ought to be desirous of one another's fellowship as members in the body of Christ. How many of you go home and chop off a finger and just lay it to the side until next Sunday? You do that? No. It hurt for one thing. I'm not advising doing that. But we don't do that. Because why? We need our whole body, what? Constantly, don't we? I want to come to a better understanding of my one another obligations to you. There's about 30 or 40 of them. Did you know that? I want to know how to better love one another in the body of Christ. I want to come to a better understanding of the lost, don't you? You see, when I understand sin, then I understand the plight of the lost, but I want to know better how I can interest them. I want to know better how I can sit down and effectively teach them the gospel of Christ. I want to know a little bit more about prayer and understand prayer more. I want to know about the elements of effective prayer, folks. And there's about 7 or 8 of them. Things that either allow my prayers to be heard by God or things that cause my prayers to be hindered. I need to understand those things. I want to come to a better understanding of how do I take faith and put that in prayer and truly turn all of those things over to God. How many of you need that? Oh, we pray, well, I gave it to God, and then we still worry about it all week long, don't we? There you go, that's faith. No, I want to be able to turn that stuff over to God and forget it and trust God in faith. When it comes to my prayer life, I want to know about false doctrine more. I want to know about the ins and outs of false doctrine. I want to know how in the world can I take the truth and combat that false doctrine. Folks, that's a short list. That's 6 things that I've talked about that are found in connection to this book. You see, there's a lot we need to what? There's a lot we need to know, isn't there? And there's a lot we don't know. We talked about at the beginning of this lesson how that individuals have begun to trust feelings more than they trust facts. They rely upon their emotions much more than they rely upon knowledge. And we said that's dangerous, didn't we? Notice salvation is based upon knowledge, guys. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:4 that God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Not the way they feel about the truth. Not their opinions about truth. I want these individuals to come to the knowledge of the truth. Folks, if you don't possess knowledge of truth, you can never, ever, ever be saved. Also, our relationship with God, even after becoming Christians, and our Christian life and the manner in which that life is to be lived, it's not based upon my feelings. Oh, I feel I'm doing okay. Whoop-dee-doo. It doesn't mean you're doing okay. Well, I'm of the opinion that everything's fine in my life. So what? That's not what our lives are based upon, folks. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, how to live this life, how to have a relationship with God, watch this, through the knowledge of Him who hath called us to glory and virtue. Folks, I learn how to live my Christian life and whether I'm right with God from a knowledge of this book, not by how I feel and how I think I am. Now here's what's interesting. If you ever, ever, ever truly get a zeal for the knowledge of God, and you begin to invest yourself in trying to acquire as much knowledge as you possibly can, you're going to find out something. You know that? You're going to find out. There it is. How much that you don't know and how much there still is to know. Paul writes in Romans 11, verse 33, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out." Got an assignment for you. Uh-oh, not supposed to give assignments in church. Yep, you got an assignment for this week. We live close to the beach, don't we? One day this week, I just want you to go down to the beach. Just 5 minutes, that's all it'll take. And I want you to stand there and I want you to look out over the ocean. Folks, it's massive, is it not? Massive. You look to the left, you look straight, you look to the right, and all you see is water. And it extends just as far as the horizon goes, doesn't it? And you know that it goes far beyond the horizon. You don't have to go out very far, and all of a sudden you find that not only is it wide, and not only is it long, but it is also extremely, massively deep, isn't it? Folks, that ocean represents the wisdom and the knowledge of the Almighty God. Now, in your pocket or in your purse, you bring with you a teaspoon. And you dip that spoon down into that ocean. And folks, the water that's in that teaspoon represents the amount of knowledge that you and I have of this book. You know that? That's how wonderful, magnificent, and overwhelming the knowledge of God is. Do you know the truth? I know individuals who know the truth, known it for years, but have never acted on it. Won't you do that this morning? You know what you need to do to become a Christian. You've heard the Word of God. You've heard the preacher say over and over and over, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? And you hear that question, you say yes. He's exhorted you to die to your old way of living, and you know you need to do that. You know that you need to step forward this morning and with courage confess the name of Jesus. That is, if you're going to be saved, and then very simply, you can be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. Because Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. There's people here who know that. May never done it. If you're a Christian, can you honestly say that you're living out in your life the knowledge and wisdom of God? Is that what your Christian life is truly all about? Maybe you need to repent of some things and ask God to forgive you. If you need to respond to the invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing.